Welcome to the Tech Data World podcast, the independent voice in aerospace, defense, and space technical information, covering all the news, reviews, gossip, opinion, software, standards, and specifications in the information production and deployment field.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 8. Yes, episode 8 of our TDW podcast. Welcome to those of you who are joining us on YouTube. Welcome to those of you who are joining us via any of the Spotify's, the iTunes, the Google Plays, or indeed anybody who is listening just via our website. I know that the majority of you actually do just listen via our website. So wherever you are listening to my dulcet tones, welcome. And I hope you enjoy this episode. This episode we're going to talk about just because we produce modular data. But before I get on to the main topic, I do have a small announcement. If you have not seen the latest blog article that I have written for TDW, we are having to ask everybody on our database to resubscribe to our newsletter. If you want to receive updates, notifications, and anything along those lines from us here at TDW, you need to re-sign up to our newsletter. This is because there are new regulations coming into effect here in Europe that affect the way that we can store and use your information. So please do go over, watch the full blog, and then if you find the time, please do resubscribe to our newsletter. Otherwise, as from the 25th of May, you will be deleted from our system and you will not receive any notifications from us at all. That's the end of the boring bit. Let's get on to this week's major topic, which is I just want to talk about the production of modular data. And I'm going to talk about this from a perspective of an end user who complained to me about the usability of the information that they are being given from their supplier. Now, S1000D, like DITA, like similar approaches to technical information production, is all about modular data. And modular data makes a great deal of sense. Now, modular data, if you don't know what it is, it's all about creating small chunks of information that promotes manageable and reusable chunks of information that can ultimately, it's like having a box of Lego. You can decide how you want to build it, and each piece of Lego, and if you've done any of my TDIQ courses, you know that I like to use things like Lego to demonstrate certain concepts and principles of what it is that we are doing. But reusable pieces of information, and that could be graphical, that can be textual. And, you know, in S1000D terms, in the main, we're talking about data modules, and we talk about small, sensible, reusable pieces of information. And then in theory, at the end of a production process where we create all of these wonderful single instances of pieces of information, we can then bring them all back together to make a deployed output. Now, the great thing is, of course, is that if you have common content, you can reuse and repurpose that across multiple outputs, whether you're going out to different manuals or whether you're going out to different mediums, you can decide how you want to pull that together. That's not what I want to talk about, and I'm assuming that most of you listening to this already know how to do that. So the problem comes, and from the conversation I had with this little group of end users, is that some vendors seem to think because we produce modular data, then we have to deploy in the same fashion. And this is where a massive amount of frustration comes in from your end users. And your end users are having to click link after link after link to go and follow certain practices or procedures. And essentially, they end up getting lost. They end up getting frustrated. They end up really losing their way amongst the plethora of modular pieces of information. I know that some tools actually just basically take a massive database of S1000D data modules, some clever link management capability in the background from a technological perspective is then connecting all of those data modules using all of the linking capability within the specification. And the user is having to go down 10s, 20, 30 links if they were to follow a practice or procedure correctly and appropriately. Now, the problem with this is that introduces safety issues, because if we are frustrating our end user and our end user has multiple pressures placed on them, they have pressures that they have to get aircraft, they have to get equipment, they have to get their end users back out doing what they need to do, which is operate the equipment or fly the aircraft or whatever it might be. So we are giving our end users an excuse to skip steps if we are not careful. Furthermore, the example that one of the guys actually gave me was that, you know, we follow all of these links and we click all of these links. And, you know, let me tell you that the language that was used was a little bit more redolent than what I'm using, is that then they get to the end of the link chain and it says this page cannot be found, or this link does not exist in this data set. And, you know, you can imagine the immense frustration that comes from an end user's perspective. So the message that I wanted to bring out, and I'm going to do a few more blogs around podcasts around some of the frustrations that I hear from end users and how end users want to work with information. You know, if we are not careful, we are introducing inadvertently, you know, I talk about in some of my tutorials, I talk about the modularization diarrhea, you know, where some people go over the top with modularization, inappropriate modularization. And, you know, the reality is that we end up really frustrating our end users because we are deploying the information in the same fashion that we are creating it. And, you know, there are lots of clever publishing tools out there for if we actually bring together this data for an external PDF that, you know, you can extract all of the ID and status information, you can all the auto-generated information, and you can chapterize that information. And we talk about that on TDIQ, and we talk about how, you know, lots of clever tools can actually handle that. But actually, it seems that the frustrations lie around the interactive manuals, the IETPs, where they seem to think that deploying data modules is the way to go. And from an end user's perspective, that becomes exceptionally frustrating. Now, what are the solutions? Well, I always say to anybody that I am advising, certainly when it comes round to usability of tools, usability of information, is start thinking about where your end user is and how they are going to access this information. How are they going to, I mean, there's lots of terms out there now, and we call it user experience. Everybody's talking about the user experience. And, you know, this is nothing new, guys. It's just been branded something modern. You know, I've been banging on about the end user for the last 10 years. And finally, many other organizations are following suit and saying, okay, maybe we need to think about the user experience here. And think about how your user is going to want to navigate around this. Take a procedure and go, right, okay, let's work through this procedure. No, if I have to go out of my procedure to a set of warnings and cautions and that takes me somewhere else, or, you know, I have to go and read up on a preliminary or a another task before I can get to my main task, then, you know, your user is going to get frustrated. Have a go at a procedure yourself and make sure that it's going to work. Now, I did see a very good implementation of a DITA-based deployment. So an interactive manual that was taking DITA-based information and was publishing it out to an online interactive manual. And in DITA, if you don't know the full capabilities of DITA, it's very, very similar to S1000D, but they have the CONREF element or the content reference. And what I saw these technology companies do was actually they would go off and every time there was a content reference, or they would go off and extract that information from where it was held and place it dynamically in line where it was needed. And the user had no idea that it was actually external content and or it was reference content. And it was placed in line like it was a monolithic instruction for the end user to use. And actually, when you then looked at the XML behind it, you could see that it was a reference to external content. But from an end user's perspective, from a UX perspective, they did not know that this was referenced information. So we are very, very dangerous. We're in a dangerous situation where we are frustrating our end users. And I'm talking in this podcast from speaking to end users. This is not Michael Ingledew making this up. This is speaking to guys that are using interactive manuals that are being deployed as we produce, which is not a sensible way for us to be deploying information. There are clever ways for you S1000D vendors out there. Go and have a look at some of the DITA implementations of interactive manuals, and you will see that they have been very, very clever about how they pull in information for their end users to use. Anyway, that was episode 8. And in the next episode, I can't remember what we're going to... Oh, I'm going to talk about why and how technical publications are becoming mainstream. And I'm going to talk about that from a very common perspective and a growing perspective here in the UK. And actually, I follow some forums in the United States as well, and how that's becoming more and more mainstream and why it's becoming mainstream. So we look forward to that one. And that one may be a little bit more interactive. So you might, we'll do the podcast, but it'll be also a more interactive YouTube video. So remember, guys, the GDPR newsletter, please go over, re-sign up to our newsletter. Please share this with your friends, colleagues, and if you've got any ideas or suggestions for a podcast, something you want me to share my thoughts on, I'll be more than happy to do that. Don't forget to join us every Thursday at 5 p.m. UK time for our Thursday Thoughts, where we live broadcast to our TDIQ platform. We also live broadcast to YouTube and our website. So do make sure you join me. Anyway, guys, that was episode 8. And just because we produce modular data does not mean that's how we should be deploying our information.
Thank you for listening to the TDW podcast. Remember, you can keep your tech data skills current and relevant with a full TDIQ subscription. Visit www.techdataworld.com for more details. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube for your next Tech Data World update. Until next time.